This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Who's Johnny Burrow? Never heard of him. And look, I've got some good news for you. Well, up to you. You tell me. It's Jake Watson instead. Johnny Burrow's got the night off. We're going to do your transfer rumour meal, though, as planned, 9 until 10pm this evening. So much to discuss, as always. And it is the way, isn't it, with transfer rumours? I feel like people love it or hate it. They love to slag it off, don't they? Say, oh, it's just paper talk. It's rubbish. They're just making it up. It's just agents or whatever. There's so many things, isn't it, that they say about transfers. Well, look, as I say to so many people, particularly in the Premier League anyway, I mean, I think it's slightly different when you drop down the leagues, but certainly in the Premier League and the top flight, the big clubs all across the continent, literally every single transfer that happens was first reported on the radio, on the TV or in the newspaper. Trust me, people do know what they're talking about, and this transfer has come from somewhere. There is always, always smoke. There is always fire. And there are always transfers happening. And we will bring you all the rumour, all the debate, all the confirmed stuff as well. And of course, if you want to get involved, you can also do that. 0208 7020 558. Is your football club being linked with a footballer that you'd love to see at your club? Or perhaps you'd love to stick away from? You can get in touch. As I said, that's the number you need to ring. At Love Sport Radio is the Twitter handle. And guess what? We've moved into the modern world here at Love Sport Radio. We have got WhatsApp. My mum ain't even got WhatsApp yet. But we do. You can text in. It's the exact same number, 0208 7020 558. Remember to include your name with your point of view so I can read it out on air and I can let everyone know exactly who it is that has just sent in that message. All you need to do is just add us, Love Sport, just like you were adding your mate, and you can drop us a message, 0208 7020 558. So loads to get through this evening. As I mentioned, Leroy Sane, Romelu Lukaku. I mean, the list is endless. James Maddison, Maurizio Sarri, Adrian Rabiot. We're going to be doing that one as well. Apparently his agent, his representatives are in the country right now negotiating with a couple of Premier League clubs. We'll be speaking to Adam White from Fetch Football News very shortly. But before we do that, let's actually talk about Romelu Lukaku and Antonio Conte. That is the news, of course, that Conte is back in management. He is the boss at Inter Milan. And I had a little think, who do I know who knows more about Italian football in Inter Milan than anyone else? And his name is Rich Hall, and he's on the phone right now. Good evening, Rich.
Evening, Hayden. You okay?
Yeah, mate. I'm very, very well indeed. Look, this has been going on for ages, hasn't this, kind of rumours that Antonio Conte was going to be going back at Inter Milan. And there's kind of been a transfer that's been going hand in hand with it. And that's Romelu Lukaku will go there if he gets the job. Now, late, you're the guy in the know. Can we see him? Can we see this one happening?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this, because as we know, this Antonio Conte back to Inter has been the worst kept secret in Italian football. The way that the Inter board and Zhang from Suning has handled this has been quite good, because they've let Spalletti go with grace. They've thanked him for what he's done. It was time to go. But the interesting thing is as well that financial fair play now doesn't apply to Inter anymore. So there's quite a lot of, obviously the rumours will start that Antonio Conte plays a different system from Spalletti. So he'll want wing-backs, he'll want an extra forward because he likes to play two up front. And also you had the situation with Mauro Icardi, which was a huge debacle under Spalletti. At the moment, all reports in Italy at the moment, especially with Gazzetta dello Sport, are saying that Edin Dzeko is actually almost a done deal for Inter, wow, which is an early transfer that for about 13.5 million euros. But that's really interesting because media set are saying that this transfer then depends on one other thing. So he wants to play with two strikers. They've already got Lautaro Martinez as well, who's a fantastic forward as well. But as you say about Lukaku, the interesting thing here is that in Italy at the moment, it all relies on whether this switch between Juventus and Inter for Mario Icardi and Paolo Dybala can actually go through. It's a huge undertaking as well, because obviously Beppe Marotta knows knows Juventus very well. So there's quite a few little things that hang on this. But yeah, Lukaku certainly is of interest to Conte, and he's made it well known.
Yeah, so I mean, what jumps out to me, Rich, when I think about this transfer, if it's going to happen, is of course finances for United. We all know change needs to happen at that football club. I don't think Lukaku is at the top of the list of the players they want out, but I'm fairly certain if they got a good offer, they'd certainly listen to it. I just am not entirely convinced that Inter Milan would have the necessary cash, because they're probably going to want 60 million plus. I mean, do they have that money, Rich?
Well, this is it. They do, in the sense of the Suning Group, who have taken over Inter in the last couple of years, who took over from Erik Thohir, the Indonesian owner. The interesting thing about them is they have the very deep pockets, just the same as, probably not on the same scale as PSG or Manchester City, but they still could spend an awful lot. Now, Inter are out of financial fair play restrictions, which is the first time for a couple of seasons, so they don't need to balance the books. But you can't think that Inter can then go and spend £200 million, for instance, because they would just get themselves back in the same situation. So it's a steady build for Inter now. So what they have to do, they can go and spend £60 million, for instance, but they've got a lot of other elements in the team that they need to improve. And now, we've just talked about Dzeko. They're also talking about Matteo Darmian from United as well. They're also talking about Kolarov. They need wing-backs. There's quite a lot to go on at Inter at the moment. So it will depend on who they can get out the door as well. So again, Mauro Icardi could be key to this, because if Conte's come in and doesn't fancy the fact of how Mauro Icardi's acted last season,
baggage.
He doesn't think he's a player he can take. Yeah, exactly that. Because he is just that. And Conte doesn't take any prisoners. Then the whole of the Lukaku deal could be funded by the Mauro Icardi sale. So it's going to be such a busy summer for Inter.
Yeah, is there a chance this could be a bit of another false dawn for both Milan clubs, really? I mean, I think a couple of years ago, when AC spent all that cash, who was the striker from Portugal? André Silva, and he kind of didn't work out. And there was this excitement building around Milan. Because we've all wanted it, haven't we, for a long time, to get both of those clubs back, not only at the top end of Italian football, but competing at the top end of European football and Champions League football. And getting this investment right is so, so critical, isn't it? But it feels now that, finally, the club is actually in a position where it can actually realistically travel for that because of the kind of the financial backing they've got. And as you say, those restrictions being lifted from them.
Yeah, massively. I mean, there's such a good point, because there's a saying in Italy that for Italian football to be powerful again, it needs a good Juventus, a good AC Milan and a good Inter. And it's true, because they're the northern powerhouses. The history of Italian football has been dominated by the clubs with money. And in recent seasons, we haven't seen that. I was out in Italy especially to see that team originally when they spent, like you say, the $200 million under the Lee Yong-hong far recent investment of Milan. And people in Milan were saying, it's quite a nice app saying that people are saying football's fashionable again in Milan, because, it looked like there was a project, but Milan spent too much. They didn't qualify for the Champions League. There was all the debacle with the Far Eastern investment. In the end, Elliott Management now own a club at Milan that they never really wanted. Gazidis, who was at Arsenal and is now on the board of Milan, and he's saying, he came out this season and said, look, for Milan, you've got to temper your expectations. We can't compete anymore. They're going to have to buy young players. They're going to have to, they said they won't sell them, but they're saying they're going to buy young players. They're going to promote players from the youth system. And for Milan, the project will be 5-10 years in the making before they're back to anything near what the club wants them to be. Inter, on the other hand, are ahead. And this is a huge, huge season for them. With Conte coming in, Beppe Marotta, those are the two men who formulated that they formed that Juventus team that we all see today. And the irony is now that Juventus without Allegri, will they get Sarri? Will he be the right man? Will they invest enough? This is the one season that Inter feel that they could catch Juventus, so they will invest more for that.
Yeah, let's get a quick word then, Rich, on those two former Chelsea bosses, Sarri, and starting with Conte, obviously a long association as a player and a manager at Juventus. What's the kind of the feeling, first of all, with Inter Milan? I think this is a huge kind of capture for the club. And also then, I suppose, for Juventus, is there any kind of begrudging that a club legend has moved to a club rival?
Yeah, massive. From a Juventus point of view, there certainly is. There's a huge petition Juventus fans at the moment, because, in any stadium, when you have these club legends, you can have the name on the stadium about their achievements and everything else. There's a petition in Italy to pretty much have Conte's name wiped from any association with Juve.
Brutal.
And the thing is, Yeah, he played over 300 times for them, and they see him like Inter see Javier Zanetti, like Roma see Francesco Totti. Exactly, and especially the way he brought them back from the brinks of Calciopoli to where they were. This is a big betrayal for them, so that's quite huge. Inter fans, not so much. Do they like Conte? Probably not, but at the end of the day, you've got one of the best coaches, best Italian coaches, coming to your club with a really good formula. But again, he'll have to start strong. Both clubs have got, short memories.
Yeah, they'll turn quick.
Exactly that. So it'll be interesting to see that. I can't personally wait for the derby d'Italia. Juventus versus Inter. That first game will be fantastic because Conte will certainly, he must find it hard himself, but he's always said that he's a professional. And he'll compete with any club he's at. So, it should be fascinating the way that rivalry builds now this season.
Yeah, so then a word on Sarri. Obviously did brilliant things at Napoli. An incredible story, isn't it? I mean, how he just got to Napoli, let alone Chelsea. Yeah. Kind of not particularly endeared to Chelsea fans here, despite the fact he took them as significantly higher than what Conte managed, got them to two cup finals, won the Europa League. But it looks like he's going to be on the way. Is that the feeling that not only is he going to be leaving Chelsea and walking away from Abramovich, only one other manager, by the way, has managed to do that instead of getting sacked. Not only is he going to do that, he's going to land the biggest job in Italy. Is that looking like it's going to happen? Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, Tutto Sport was quite good this morning because it said Sarri and Conte, GSL ring, basically meant Sarri and Conte are in the boxing ring for next season. Sarri's in Italy, they're almost saying it's a done deal. Agnelli, the president of Juventus, even though he's working for UEFA, was out in Baku in the Four Seasons Hotel, same hotel that Chelsea was staying in. There's been talks. I think that's fairly obvious from every point. You've met with Bruce Buck. So it looks like that deal's almost done. The interesting thing about this is that Juventus, when they had Allegri, their philosophy is simply just to win. That's it. Juventus' motto is just that. It's to win at all costs. Allegri was a gentleman. He exuded class. To go to Sarri, he's been good. Honestly, I think he's been good in England. But also the way he's kept himself with the media. He's so politically correct incorrect in Italy. There's a real worry at first when he came
yeah,
over.
Yeah, there
was. He's almost like the anti-Juventus. I mean, he's a philosopher. He's the guy who, like Zeman, he wants to play this fantastic football, just to entertain. That's not Juventus. So it's going to be fascinating how that happens. But the reason they've looked at it is exactly what you said before. They're looking in Italy. The philosophy in general is just result-based. They think he's done a really good job at Chelsea, and it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely, 100% is. Rich, absolute pleasure speaking to you as always about all things Italian football, mate.
Anytime. Cheers. Always appreciate it. Cheers, man.
Not a problem. There we are. Rich Shaw, chief correspondent at Football Italia. His take on Romelu Lukaku, thinks it could happen, thinks he could leave Manchester United and go to Inter Milan. And he says Inter Milan have got the cash to make it happen. Maurizio Sarri could go to Juventus, the biggest job in Italy, after apparently, according to Chelsea fans, I won't go as far as saying to fail, but he hasn't endeared himself to them, has he? Some really interesting stuff. Right, going to take a break when we come back. Going to turn our attentions away from Italian football and do some French football rumours. Now, the big one that's doing the rounds today is Adrien Rabiot. He is the French PSG central midfielder. There's been a long protracted contract dispute with him at the football club. It's largely expected that he will leave this summer. The reports are that his agent is currently in this country talking to two Premier League clubs. We'll talk to Adam White from Get French Football News next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
I love speaking Italian football with Rich. He is the fountain of knowledge. He really does love his stuff. A huge Inter Milan fan as well. So really interesting, isn't it? How that kind of concept of Antonio Conte, just imagine what that would be like in England, where a player who was a legend at Juventus, he won everything as a footballer, he then won even more as a manager. leaves, comes back and joins one of their fiercest rivals and is potentially going to take Paulo Dybala away from Juventus and into Milan. It's kind of one of these ones, isn't it, where if it goes well, wonderful. Inter Milan, love him. Juventus, as long as they keep winning, so perhaps not too bothered. But the moment it starts failing at Inter Milan or it's not going as well as you'd like, the fans will turn on them. Whereas if you're a club legend, you're always bought kind of so much more time, aren't you, by the club and their fans. Yeah, really interesting stuff to see how that plays out with Romelu Lukaku. But as I said, let's turn our attentions to some other transfer news regarding some Premier League clubs. But I need a French expert to talk about it. Adam White from Get French Football News is on the phone now. Adam, a very good evening, mate.
Thank you very much. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad at all. So look, something that kind of caught my eye today when I was doing my rounds on Twitter and the various other websites for transfer rumours was Adrien Rabiot. We've been speaking a long time, haven't we, about his future at Paris Saint-Germain. Mm. Fully expected he'll leave the club this summer. I mean, we're hearing the likes of Everton and Manchester United. His agents are speaking to them right now as we speak.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. It's an interesting situation with Rabiot. His, as you mentioned there, his future's been in doubt for quite some time. He's been exiled from the PSG 11, hasn't played since before Christmas. That was sort of a decision made from above Thomas Tuchel, which Thomas Tuchel wasn't particularly pleased with. And his sort of offers have slowly decreased. He has a little bit of an issue with a sort of sense of entitlement, as we saw with the France squad last summer. We sort of felt like he was deserving of a place in that squad, even though I don't think he was, given his form at the time and other players are playing better, and he had refused to be on the standby list. And at one time he had offers from Barcelona and Tottenham, obviously both very good Champions League teams. And now it seems that Manchester United, obviously not in the Champions League for next season, and Everton are the two clubs speaking with his entourage. As far as I understand, he hasn't even responded to the Manchester United offer just yet. So
wow. It'll
be interesting to see how those talks develop.
So everything you say really, Adam, is, to me, I'm not putting words in your mouth, kind of screams perhaps of a little bit of an attitude problem. And again, talking about Manchester United screams like exactly the kind of personality they don't need at their football club.
Yeah, it does feel like that, doesn't it? And I think that's absolutely the case. That his attitude has been an issue throughout his PSG career, falling out with Unai Emery over his preferred position. Emery tried to use him sort of around the midfield, but Adrien Rabiot saw himself as not of an attacking midfielder, but a more forward-thinking midfielder, and Emery used him a lot deeper in midfield, which he actually played very well at in the Champions League. I seem to remember the group stage last year, he was particularly good in that position at times, but wasn't happy with that. And as I mentioned, the issue with France, and the same came with PSG, and there's been sort of to and fro's for PSG about whether he trains with the team or whether he trains with the squad or whether he trains away. And basically he was spending such a long time trying to responding to their new contract offer and was delaying and delaying. They just got frustrated with him and sort of deemed it just time wasting, basically, because he wanted to move on and he was sort of exiled from the team. So yeah, I would argue, yes, absolutely. It's an attitude issue. And again, as you mentioned, the Manchester United have issues with that previously anyway, and you would feel like that's not the type of character they'd need in their team at the moment.
We've looked at that PSG team, Adam, over the last kind of few years. Almost feels a bit like the NBA All-Stars, doesn't it? They kind of go out and buy whoever they want, particularly in French football in comparison to those other sides. Now, if we're going to take away everything you've kind of just said with regards to maybe what or how Adrien's got himself in this position, i.e. out of the side, is he ability-wise good enough to be starting for that Paris Saint-Germain side?
I would argue that he'd struggle a little bit. I think this season they've been really light in midfield, and that's something that Thomas Tuchel has really complained about over the course of the year, and he's actively sort of gone after the sort of the higher-ups at the club that have sort of banished Rabiot from the squad. Coming into sort of the second half of the season with their Champions League run and sort of a fluctuating league campaign towards the end when they struggled to get over the line, they definitely could have used him in the team. And given they were so light in that midfield, I think he probably would have been starting for most of the season. But whether he is of the quality to take them to the level that they see themselves at, which is, of course, winning the Champions League and winning it consecutively, you know, winning it consistently, I would say that's a little bit questionable. He's obviously extremely talented player. He's still got a lot of potential. We saw at 22, 23, he's still developed quite a lot, and he has at times been absolutely devastating. I seem to remember the first leg against Barcelona before that 6-1 defeat, the famous one, the one PSG won that first leg 4-0, and he was absolutely fantastic in that game. But he's never shown the consistency of those sorts of performances, even in Ligue 1. Occasionally he does play like that, but he's quite sort of inconsistent and up and down, and I don't think he's proven, at least consistently, that he's capable of playing for a team, you know, at the level that PSG see themselves, and and somewhere like perhaps Liverpool, which is where he wants to go to Liverpool. Wow. I don't know if he'd be getting in that midfield either. I don't think he's proven it yet. I think he thinks he's good enough, but I don't know that he actually is.
Yeah, so there's a bit kind of alike though, you know, when someone is they're backing their ability to that extent. But obviously they need to go and prove it. But it has to be said though as well, the ability to break through as a youth team player at Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, Prisnel Kimpembe has done it, and Christophe and Cuckoo, but it's hard, isn't it? And so he's clearly got something really kind of special. Because, again, he's not in that French side either, but it's because it's not about ability, is it?
Mm. No, that's absolutely right, yeah. He would be in the squad, you'd imagine, if Didier Deschamps picks players purely on ability. But he was criticised for not doing that previously, but as he proved at the World Cup, his method of sort of picking players based on what he sees as the most sort of harmonious squad. The French squad have had, you know, issues with falling out with each other in the past, meant that Rabiot was one of those players that fell by the wayside, given that he's attitude issues and Deschamps didn't see him as a player that would necessarily aid the harmony of the team, which given as things we've been talking about, kind of makes sense. But yes, you're absolutely right. To break through at PSG is extremely difficult. But I think there's a combination of factors that perhaps led to Rabiot breaking into the team. First of all, he was seen as sort of this sort of shining light of their academy, that he's a local player, local guy, so that they brought through, that they can produce these players and they'll get into the first team and they'll get chances. But it also kind of happened at the right time for him. If it was now, I think he might struggle a little bit more given the players that are there and the signings that they'll probably make. He was sort of coming through just as the team were developing, and he'd been sort of, as like I said, he's sort of been held up as an example of our youth system producing these players. And there was a load of support from the club for Rabiot over the course of the summer with, you know, they released a statement supporting his decision to not be part of the France squad. You know, they really felt like he was their man. He was their local player. But it just seems like that sort of has led to a sense of entitlement on his part, that he sort of feels like he deserves all these opportunities that he's getting. Given I mentioned the link with Liverpool there, it kind of underlines the fact that he just sees himself playing for what he sees as the best team in European football and isn't willing to sort of progress in it in a more sort of natural way.
Yeah, no, I have to say I do like, you know, Rabiot purely as a footballer. He's a very classy kind of operator. But let's talk about potentially where you think, Adam, he could end up, because I say the stories are Everton and Manchester United have given him offers. You say he'd like to go to Liverpool. I think we can safely rule out Arsenal because Unai Emery is there and he's played for him before. I mean, what level is, could we say Manchester United, Spurs, Chelsea, is he that kind of level? Is it particularly ambitious, should we say, for Everton to throw their hats in the ring?
I think it is ambitious for Everton to throw that in the bin. I mean, fair play. He was even linked with Real Betis, actually, even earlier this month in La Keep. And I think that's also quite unlikely, simply because, as I said, he sees himself at a higher level. And having sort of been sort of a little bit indecisive, got contract offers from Barcelona over the course of the winter, which would have come into effect for the start of next season, and with Spurs as well, he sort of felt at the time, at least the way I understood it, is that Spurs were perhaps not the required, you know, stature, if you like, of club that he wanted to go to. And they made the Champions League final. So clearly they are, in terms of quality, they are the type of club that he should be interested in, given his career progression so far. I think Manchester United is quite likely. They fit the bill in terms of, you know, they are a club of stature. They are a club with ambitions, and a club that will eventually, you'd imagine, given the resources available, reach those ambitions. You know, it seems like, although there's a transfer policy that's a little bit all over the place at Manchester United in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, you imagine that given the resources, much like PSG, that they will be getting somewhere. And it would make sense for Rabiot to want to be a part of that, because he sees himself as a Champions League winner, and so do Man United. So that their ideas kind of coincide there. So I think that's most likely. Everton, I think he would feel that he's deserving of a bigger club than Everton. But United makes sense. I agree with you that you know, Emery's presence at Arsenal makes that link a little bit unlikely. It's possible, but much less likely than United.
Yeah, now you mentioned a few moments ago Real Betis, a club linked previously perhaps with Adrian Rabiot. And I was going to ask you, and you seamlessly brought me to it, was Giovanni Lo Celso. Was at Paris Saint-Germain. He's now at Real Betis. He's been linked with Tottenham Hotspur. I mean, what kind of player is he? They've been talking 50, 70 million pounds for him.
They have. I think on talent, I can understand those figures. He came from Rosario Central, and he was extremely highly thought of in Argentina, and he signed by Paris Saint-Germain last summer now, or actually maybe the winter before, and he didn't really break in until the start of the season before last now, I guess at the end of the season now. And he's an extremely gifted player, number 10, can play a little bit deeper, and was used by Unai Emery even in defence midfield, perhaps a little bit unwisely away at Real Madrid in the Champions League, which didn't really go to plan. But he had played well in that position in the league and sort of bigger league and games previously, so that I guess that kind of made sense. He's extremely technically gifted, can score goals. Very graceful player. He was a brilliant one, a goal of the season contender really for PSG the season before last, with a brilliant run and chip of the goalkeeper. I think it was away at Lille. And yeah, he's a fantastic player. And I think he's the type of player that would suit Pochettino, Mauricio Pochettino and Tottenham really well. He'd fit into that midfield, offer them something slightly different with his technical ability and vision. And he's the type of player that's sort of ripe to be developed. You know, he's got so much potential and so much talent. He's kind of in need of a means to channel it and the ability to prove himself at a slightly higher level than Betis, who are a good team and they play in the right way. But you feel that Mauricio Pochettino and him would be a good partnership and he'd be able to bring him on because he's an extremely talented player. And it'd be great to see him in the Premier League.
Yeah, were you initially surprised to see him leave Paris Saint-Germain? Because I remember when he was there, I wasn't initially aware of him. I can't remember why I'd stumbled across him, but I remember then, you know, as you do, you think, oh, I've not heard of him before. And you have a little look on the internet and read about him. I mean, Argentinian international, and again, he was very young and playing for Paris Saint-Germain. And basically, in my eyes, if you're young and playing for Paris Saint-Germain, there must be something about you. I was surprised to see him let go and, with the greatest respect, go to someone like Real Betis.
Yeah, it was a surprise to see him go to Betis, for sure. I think that his transfer was a little bit, he was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. When Thomas Tuchel arrived at PSG, there was a sense that he didn't really fancy him for whatever reason. He perhaps didn't fit in with that kind of aggressive pressing style that Thomas Tuchel is sort of famous for. PSG don't necessarily play that way that you might expect, but they do play a lot more sort of on the front foot than they did under Unai Emery, for example. And it's likely that Tuchel didn't see Lo Celso to fit into those ideas. So during pre-season, he wasn't really playing. And I remember even Lo Celso had it posted on Instagram about patience, as a slight sort of dig at not being picked. And he didn't play for the first couple of weeks of the season. And it just seemed like that Tuchel didn't really fancy him in his team as his type of player. But yeah, for him to go to Betis was an odd move. But I guess that it made sense in that Quique Setién's teams play very, very stylish football, very sort of possession-based football, very attacking and, you know, expansive. And he's a player that fits perfectly into a team like that. And although Mauricio Pochettino isn't necessarily of that sort of style, that Spurs are sort of trending in that direction more than perhaps Thomas Tuchel might do, perhaps. So I guess it made sense. He got playing time, he got good coaching, and he got to prove himself at a very high level. He played really well in the league, which is arguably the best league, maybe not this season, but, you know, it's just behind the Premier League at worst. And it kind of married up like that. So I think the game time really, really helped him. So in the end, Betis was a really, really good move for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Adam, pleasure speaking to you this evening.
No problem, thanks.
No problem at all. There we are, Adam White from Get French Football News. Easy for you to say. Talking about Giovanni Lo Celso, big links with the Real Betis midfielder joining former Paris Saint-Germain, joining Tottenham Hotspur, talking a release clause of around 70 million quid to bring him to London, and also Adrian Rabiot. The rumours are his representatives are in the country, already speaking to the likes of Everton and Manchester United. Reportedly, get this, Man United have made a £9 million a year offer to him, but he's waiting to see if Liverpool will offer him a deal. And as Adam said, I mean, would he get a game at Liverpool? But clearly the guy fancies himself. He rates himself. He's backing himself. He thinks he should be in that PSG side. He thinks he should be in the French side. He's clearly a talented footballer. But where he goes next, we shall have to wait and see. But Adrien Rabiot, without a shadow of a doubt, will be leaving Paris Saint-Germain this summer. And it looks like there's a good chance that he'll be playing in the Premier League. You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to the Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. Jake Watson with you until another half an hour or so. Thank you very much indeed to Richard Hall, Football Italia correspondent, talking about Romelu Lukaku. Does it look like he's going to leave Manchester United and join Inter Milan? Well, he seems to think there's a fairly decent chance of that happening. Thinks Inter Milan out of financial fair play restrictions. So basically, they can go out and spend some cash this summer. And with Antonio Conte as the manager, we know that he likes him. So basically, get this. When Antonio Conte was the manager of Chelsea, he wanted to sign Romelu Lukaku from Everton. However, Chelsea, as we know, it's not the manager who signs the players, is it? They wanted to sign Alvaro Morata. Now, we all know how that ended up. So Now he's in charge at Inter Milan and he's got money. He now wants to make Romelu Lukaku his big marquee signing this summer and take him to the San Siro. It'd be a hell of a statement of intent, wouldn't it, from Inter Milan as they look to try kind of fight and compete with the very big boys, not only in Italian football, but world football once again. They are in Champions League football next season. They just managed to sneak in there on the final day of the season. It makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Particularly if you want to be signing players like Romelu Lukaku. There's no way that he'd leave for a football club not playing in the Champions League next summer. Also, just been speaking to Adam White from Get French Football News, and again talking about all things Adrian Rabiot and also Giovanni Lo Celso. So again, if you're not aware of this guy, he's an Argentinian international, a young central midfielder, was there at PSG, broke through, was doing wonderful things, was really impressing, but for whatever reason Thomas Tuchel, when he joined PSG in the summer, didn't kind of fancy him, so he moved him on to Real Betis. Now they've got money, it's a very interesting project, but he's absolutely flourished there in La Liga. I think it was 16 goals last season from midfield. So naturally, when that happens, everyone starts to have a look at you, and apparently Spurs are very much concrete interest in bringing him to London this summer. Reportedly put in a bid already of around 50 million quid, but he's got a release clause of around 70, and apparently you've got to pay that if you want to sign him this summer. And reportedly as well, Paris Saint-Germain have got a fairly big sell-on in his contract, as most clubs do. I think it's about 20% either of the profit or just the sell-on. Giovanni Lo Celso is attracting the interest of Tottenham Hotspur this summer, the Real Betis and Argentinian midfielder. And we will naturally talk about Spurs. Then they get linked, aren't they, with so many clubs this summer. So many players this summer. They've not signed any for two summers. And now they've reached the Champions League final. Now we know they're going to be in the Champions League next season. They will, without a shadow of a doubt, need to sign some players. They let Moussa Dembele go, didn't they, in the summer. Harry Winks started. Victor Wanyama's probably going to move on in the summer as well. So you're looking at that Spurs team and the likely places where you could strengthen it, or certainly easily strengthen it. And I don't think it's disrespectful at all to say that central midfield players will be one of them. We've also seen, by the way, James Maddison linked with a move from Leicester to Tottenham. I mean, how realistic that is, I mean, I'm probably not the right person to comment on it, being a Leicester fan myself. But again, the reports that Spurs asked, and the reports are that Leicester said 60 million quid. And you just don't think, do you? You just don't think that Spurs are going to spend that kind of money on a player this summer. But I do know, however, that when Leicester signed James Maddison, the Spurs were interested in taking him from Norwich at the time. So without a shadow of a doubt, they do have an interest in him. Right, let's talk about some more Spurs stuff, but let's not hear from me. Let's talk about Ricky Sachs, a regular voice here on Love Sport Radio from Last Word on Spurs. Now, he's been telling the Sunday fans from earlier on today what Spurs need to buy. He reckons it's winners in this summer's transfer window.
And I just wonder how much that affects the club. You know, you can talk about mentality. I mean, listen, I believe the club do need to go out in the summer and go and buy two or three genuine winners, players that can actually get this club over the line. Because we've been with this squad of players now for, what, a good four or five seasons. We've made no investments over the last two consecutive windows. And ultimately, as much as there's a sentimental value there to the group because of how far they've come, you have to turn around and sometimes say they're just not good enough as a group collectively. You know, individually, there might be great talents, but there is a time when you now have to say the investment has to come. And that's the key for Maurizio, I think, you know, this summer. If the investment isn't going to come, then he's not going to stay. If he feels there's going to be, you know, significant backing to take the club forward, then hopefully he can stay and believe that he can raise his group again. But, you know, you've got to bear in mind, we're coming up to his fifth, sixth year in the job next year.
Yeah.
And he's got to raise his players again after yet another heartbreaking defeat.
Yeah, well, there's no way, is there? And I'm with Ricky on this. There's no way they're not going to sign anyone this summer. But at the same time, they're not going to be held to ransom and they're not going to pay over the odds. It's just simply, it's not necessarily Daniel Levy. It's also not Mauricio Pochettino either. He's not going to do that. He's not going to go out and spend 40, 50 million pounds on a player. I'd be absolutely amazed if they did that. And they had their fingers burnt. I mean, not with quite 50 million pounds, but you think over the years with the likes of Soldado and Lamela, with the greatest respect, I think they've had their fingers burnt when they've tried to spend money on players. They'd much rather go out and find someone. I mean, take a gamble on someone like Lucas Moura at 20 million quid, perhaps unwanted at another club, and giving him some backing. That's what they're going to do, isn't it? That's how I think anyway. Or some younger talented players, the likes of Jack Grealish, perhaps. Of course, we know now that's not going to happen after they're promoted to the Premier League. But that was Ricky Sacks talking on the Sunday Fans Forum here on Love Sport Radio. And that is every single Sunday. Ricky often joined with Dave Sager, David Chidgey, Matt Beardall, Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs fans. We've got it all covered here on Love Sport Radio, discussing transfers and what's going to happen at their various football clubs this coming summer. It's, of course, June. It's July. It's August. You've got just the short window to get your deals done this summer. Manchester United, they're going to be busy, aren't they? Linked with so many clubs, linked with so many players, aren't they, already this summer? And it's not just about players coming in, it's players going out. I mean, Romelu Lukaku, a huge name. Paul Pogba, are we going to get rid of him? Are we going to keep him? It just seems that every single player that nobody wants at Manchester United, you link them with a replacement, and then 2 months later, they don't sign the replacement you want, and they end up giving the rubbish one that everyone's been criticising a new contract. It's absolutely crazy, isn't it, Manchester United? But some links for some more clubs joining Old Trafford this summer. Apparently, according to Corriere della Sera over in Italy, Manchester United have launched a bid for the AC Milan goalkeeper Gianluca Donnarumma. He's an absolute star over in Italy. He came through playing for them as a teenager, somewhat plateaued a little bit over the last couple of years, but is that a move that Manchester United could make? We all saw the season that David De Gea had. For me, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that David De Gea is at the level he once was. And most importantly, I'm not entirely convinced he can get back to that level. We see it, don't we, so often, not necessarily with goalkeepers, but just footballers in general. You get to that point where it doesn't matter how good you were, even if it's not necessarily about age, it's just you're not able to quite get to that level anymore. And De Gea is only early 30s, and for a goalkeeper, that's not too bad. But I mean, my mind casts back to Iker Casillas. At one point, the world leading goalkeeper, Real Madrid and Spain, I think he's got about 150 odd caps for Spain. That doesn't happen by accident. He's won the European Championships, won the Champions League, won the World Cup. But it just felt that suddenly Iker Casillas lost his magic, lost his spark, and was unable to get it back. And Real Madrid shipped him out, moved him on to Porto. Had a fairly decent few years there before retiring under, you know, shall we say, unfortunate circumstances this season. But for me, it just feels like David De Gea is perhaps at a similar point. Gianluca Donnarumma, an up-and-coming star. Is it time for Manchester United, with David De Gea demanding £350,000 a week, by the way? Would you be willing to give that money to David De Gea? I know he's been a legend for your football club, but at the end of the day, we're not paying £350,000 a week for legends. You're paying for ability. And can he guarantee that over the next 3-4 years at his age, following the season he's just had? Honestly and truly, I'm not too sure. And if Paris Saint-Germain came to me with 60 million quid for David De Gea, then I'd be open to selling him. I absolutely would do. And Gianluca Donnarumma could be the man. Absolutely, he's got the ability to do it. Italian goalkeeper at AC Milan currently. Let's talk about Chelsea though, shall we? It's going to be interesting, isn't it, with what happens to Eden Hazard. I mean, naturally, we've been talking for probably 3, 4, 5 years, ever since he frankly joined Chelsea, that he's going to join Real Madrid. Let's hear a little bit of audio now. We've got Eden Hazard post-game after that Europa League, where he essentially said goodbye to everyone.
I don't know yet. You know, I think he's will decide in a few days. My target today was to win the trophy. That's it. That's the only thing I was in my mind.
What is your thinking, though? What decision has to be made? What do you have to take into consideration?
I took my decision already, you know that.
You've made your decision?
Yeah. I say that 2 weeks ago. Now it's dependent on the club, so I'm just waiting.
Depending on Chelsea or someone else?
Both club. I'm just waiting like you wait, like the fans wait. So you will see, you will know in a couple of days.
Do you expect to be there next season, or is this a goodbye, Eden? All the fans want to know.
Yeah, I think it's a goodbye, but in football you never know. You know, my dream was to play in Premier League. I did this for 7 years in the biggest club in the world. So now maybe it's time for a new challenge.
Well, he says he's just going to be sitting there waiting for something to happen. He thinks it's a goodbye. Well, how long is he going to sit there and wait? I mean, I've just been sat here for years basically saying I'm not sure Real Madrid even want him, because the way that Real Madrid works as a football club, I mean, perhaps slightly differently over the last couple of years since the Gareth Bale transfer, perhaps. But if Real Madrid want to sign a footballer, they go and sign him, no matter how much money it costs. You know, they're not quite in the Galactico era, but they still have that same drive and same pull where anyone in the world, doesn't matter who you play for, probably other than Barcelona, but if you play for anyone, you play for Manchester United, you play for Man City, you play for Liverpool, if Real Madrid come calling, you go. Quite simply, it is the greatest stage in world football. And Eden Hazard clearly, from the moment he began as a footballer, has always wanted to play for Real Madrid. But I've always just found it strange that these transfer rumours happen over and over and over and over again with Eden Hazard to Real Madrid. But it only ever felt like Eden Hazard was talking about it and not Real Madrid. So I've always been slightly cautious of this ever happening. But now, more than ever, you feel that it's full steam ahead. Florentino Perez, the Real Madrid chairman, has been speaking openly about it, saying it is a transfer they'd like to see happen. But if Chelsea have a transfer ban, how on earth do they let their best player go? Obviously, they can't. But, you know, you can't let your best player go and then, unfortunately, then be able to not bring players in. It's a bit of a mess, isn't it, regarding Eden Hazard. But looks, £105 million. He will be moving to Real Madrid this summer. A goodbye following that Europa League win over Arsenal in Baku last week. Right, going to take a break. We'll head back. Going to speak to European football expert Ryan Baldy about a whole host of rumours linking players playing in Europe to moves to the Premier League.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to the transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio, where we do basically exactly what it says on the tin. We talk about all the transfers. Of course, we relate it back to our not only Premier League, but of course our London clubs, whether we're in the Championship, League One or League Two. If we're in London, we will talk about you. But it's predominantly dominated, as it always is, with transfer rumours in the Premier League. Because, unfortunately, it's a bit strange, isn't it? If it's a League One, League Two, transfers can happen and it never be reported by. It's all about the Premier League, and that's where we're focusing this evening. We've been talking about Romelu Lukaku. We've been talking about Giovanni Lo Celso, the Real Betis midfielder, who looks like he could be joining Spurs. We've also been talking about Adrian Rabiot, the PSG centre midfielder. The rumours are going round that his agent, his representatives are in the country at the moment, speaking to a host of Premier League clubs. He's interested in going to Liverpool, but as things stand, he's got offers from Manchester United and Everton. But we can speak now to European football expert Ryan Baldy. He's on the phone now. Ryan, good evening.
How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad at all. I've been talking about Manchester United loads, like I feel we're going to be doing for the next few months when it comes to transfers. A big name that's been linked over the years is Antoine Griezmann. When he announced, Ryan, the other week that he was going to leave Atletico Madrid, it was all a presumption almost that he was going to Barcelona, but perhaps that's now not the case. Is that fair?
Yeah, it seems to, the momentum of that one seems to completely have stalled. Like you said, I completely expected to for him to be joining Barcelona. I thought it'd be the kind of thing that'd be wrapped up quite soon. You know, after he announced that he was going to be leaving Atletico, the natural progression from that point, I assumed, was that Barcelona would soon announce an agreement between themselves, the player, and the two clubs. But it doesn't seem to have come that way, and there are now doubts apparently that key figures in the dressing room at the Camp Nou are not too keen on Griezmann, based on the way he kind of snubbed a move to Barcelona last season in favour of staying at Atletico.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did not know that. I thought it was more perhaps on an age and cost scenario. I mean, is it Manchester United the only club you could see him come to in the Premier League, or is there anyone else who he'd fit in at, who could be linked, or who could afford him?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think United are the obvious answer because they've been linked with him in the past. They obviously have the budget to accommodate him and the need for a player of his type. But Griezmann is a world-class player, a World Cup winner, who's been one of the best players in Spain for the last 5 years or so. I think he'd improve any team in the league. Just off the top of my head, I could imagine him fitting in quite well somewhere like Chelsea. If they were to overcome their transfer ban in the near future, they might be another club with the means to afford him as well. But yeah, for sure, United are going to be the front runners if indeed that Barcelona move doesn't materialise for him.
Yeah, so is he that good? Because I have to say, Ryan, over the years, I've always appreciated Griezmann as a very good player. But I've always found it personally a little bit much to suggest he is kind of at the level or just short of, you know, I've seen him being kind of rumoured to winning kind of the Ballon d'Or and being in the kind of the world's top 10 players. I've always not thought he was quite at that level. A very good player by all means, but not quite at that level.
I think why perhaps Griezmann isn't always the most obvious kind of player for those honours is that he plays for Atletico Madrid, who, although they're an excellent side, they're not in the very top bracket. They're not a Barcelona or Juventus or a Manchester City now, in that they don't necessarily compete for the biggest prizes year in, year out. And they also play a style of football that isn't the most adventurous. So for him to still stand out as an attacking player within a quite restrictive system there, for him to be not only the main goal scorer, but also the main creative threat for a team like that, I think has to be taken in context. And I think he's shown with France as well. He's a top-class player. I agree with you that he's not a Messi level talent, but nobody is. I think he does belong in that next bracket. The one thing that goes against him, I think, though, is he's earning a huge wage at Atletico at the moment after he renewed last year with them. He was rumoured to be willing to take a pay cut to go to Barcelona with them, but even so, he's going to be on a lot of money. And he's 28 now, so I just wonder, he'll turn 28 during next season in March. And I just wonder whether perhaps the optimum window for him to move and get his big move to one of the absolute elite of European football might just have passed.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point, the fact that 28 years old, the amount of times Manchester United have had their fingers burnt by going for these kinds of players, nobody's questioning the ability, just like no one would question the ability of Alexis Sanchez. But I just feel that Manchester United perhaps going to go down a different route. But staying in Manchester, Ryan, Nabil Fekir very nearly signed for Liverpool last season. But the rumours were, that he'd failed a medical, went back to Lyon, had a decent season, of course, won the World Cup, didn't he, with France. He's now been linked with Manchester City.
Yeah, that's a strange one for me. It's kind of a department where City are really well stocked in terms of attacking midfield.
Yeah, they are, you're right.
The kind of things that, yeah, it doesn't seem like an obvious position for them to need to strengthen. I'm sure it won't be the only one they're looking to strengthen. They're probably bringing two or three players at least. But yeah, if you're looking at the top six teams in the Premier League and where Nabil Fekir might be a good addition, City will probably be the bottom of the ladder in that sense, because they've just got so many options. He might get a little bit lost in the pack, so you'd think.
It's like when Arsenal were always linked all the years, wasn't it, with a nice number 10 when they had 55 of them already. But just on ability alone, Ryan, I mean, how good is he? Because, again, when you move from a French division, and again, it feels like it's an easy stick to hit someone with. It's not quite at the same level, but sometimes you can just tell, can't you, that person is going to be able to adapt to a better league. Is Nabil Fekir destined to play at the very top level for one of these super clubs, or is he kind of a big fish in a small pond?
Yeah, I think he's good enough, and I'd like to see it happen. I think it's a little bit overdue. Of course, yeah, he's had trouble with his knee injuries that have held him back and kind of set his progression back a few years. When he first broke through at Lyon at kind of 19, 20 years of age, he looked such an exciting prospect. He reminded me in a lot of ways of Messi, the way he carried the ball. He would play on the right and cut in onto a strong left foot. Wow. He's kind of established himself more as a number 10 in the last few years. So I think the way he's been able to bounce back from such a serious knee injury suffered a few years ago and to kind of reinvent himself as a goal-scoring number 10 over the last couple of years, it shows the adaptability and the kind of perseverance that he's got, the strength of character. And he's still only 25, so he's got the best years ahead of him. It's just, like you said, there were those rumours that he failed a medical based on the condition of his knee last year with Liverpool. Mm-hmm. So will any suitor be looking at that and thinking, is he worth the gamble? Because I'm sure he still costs quite a lot of money. So that's kind of the interesting aspect. And you mentioned Arsenal. I think if Arsenal could shift Mesut Ozil off their wage bill this summer, I think he'd be the perfect replacement. Someone who's a bit more proactive than Ozil, someone who's going to go looking for the ball rather than wait for it to come to him. And I imagine he'd also come with a lower salary demand too. So it'd be a great fit all the way around for Arsenal, would be my impression.
Yeah, great shout. And as I said as well, Jean-Michel Aulas at Lyon always likes to get top dollar, doesn't he, for his players. Very quickly, Philippe Coutinho, could he be leaving Barcelona this summer? Huge money from Liverpool, and he hasn't been a flop, but it just perhaps hasn't quite lived up to that price tag. And you think, Ryan, he could be at the Premier League next season?
I think it's possible. It's a tough one. Things really haven't worked out for him. He went with a huge prize tag, and there was never really an obvious place in that team for him. I think they kind of bought him with the intention of having him replace Iniesta, which would have been a slightly deeper role. He never played him for Liverpool consistently, and it never really worked out there. So he's kind of gone back to his position of playing on the left of a front three. And it just hasn't, he's never looked completely in sync with Messi and Suarez in that front three. I think Barcelona have always looked a more dynamic proposition when Dembele's played instead of him. So now they're faced with the possibility of having a £140 million player who isn't really doing the business to get into their starting 11. So I think they will look to move him on this summer. It's just whether they can find a suitable office for him, because again, he's somebody who's going to be on a big wage packet, and he's going to require a big fee to get him out of there because they pay so much, and they won't want to completely lose face on that one. So again, you're looking at a small number of clubs who could afford that package for him. Manchester United, I guess, would be the front runners, and again, maybe Chelsea if they can work around their transfer ban. But yeah, the options are quite thin on the ground really for Coutinho, it seems.
Yeah, no, and just very, very, very briefly indeed, Ryan, it seems that despite Barcelona's wonderful talents, that finances, they have to juggle the books a little bit, don't they, more than other clubs? Although they spent £160 million, they're not maybe cash rich as some of the others.
Yeah, their issue is their wage bill. Their wage bill is enormous. And of course, Messi is well remunerated, and he has to be. He's arguably the greatest player of all time, but they also have a lot of ageing players on really big contracts. So there's a lot of juggling on that side of things to be done, more so than kind of freeing up transfer funds for anybody. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting summer for Barcelona, because they're going to have to move on one or two key players if they're going to bring anybody in, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Ryan, absolute pleasure speaking to you this evening. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Cheers.
There we are, Ryan Baldy, European football expert, discussing various transfer rumours. Antoine Griezmann, could we finally see him in the Premier League? But if we do see him in the Premier League, is it another one of these that's just a few years too late? Now it looks like he's leaving Atletico Madrid. Manchester United reportedly the front runners, but I just feel that Manchester United have had their fingers burnt so many times by buying these ready-made stars, you know, Angel Di Maria, Alexis Sanchez, and then them just kind of not having that hunger and desire of the players that they need. Philippe Coutinho, £160 million quid from Liverpool to Barcelona. As Ryan said, he's not been rubbish. He's just not been worth £160 million quid. And when you've got a wage bill that Barcelona have got, they have to level that out sometimes. And they're not going to let go of Dembele because he's so young. So could Coutinho be back in the Premier League? If Chelsea don't have a transfer embargo, could they sign him? Could he go back to Liverpool? Manchester United once again being linked with all these players. This has been the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. It returns just like all the other shows, but up next, it's the very best of Bell and Sperling here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.